Today, human rights are under attack in many parts of the world, but there is a pathway to building a just, humane, and peaceful future, the power of the past. That's how the organization Sites of Conscience explains its mission on its website, sitesofconscience.org. Sites of Conscience highlights historic moments and places associated with both the triumphs and transgressions of human rights. The organization, which has chapters around the world, hopes that focus will spark action and awareness today. Now, supporters in East Lansing are embarking on a mission to identify local sites associated with human rights, and the MSU Museum's Marcia McDowell is a part of that effort and joins us to tell us more. Welcome to Current State.
Thanks,
Marcia.
Mike.
I'm struck by the motto of Sites of Conscience, memory to action. Talk to us about that.
Sure. Well, I think the fact that so many incidents and places and people over time evoke memories, and people recall those incidents, recall those people, and are emotionally connected, angry about things. But the thing that the Sites of Conscience organization is looking for is to take those memories and translate those into action for social change.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in the early stages of an effort to catalog and identify local sites of conscience. What would you like to see happen here?
Well, first of all, we realize that there's an absence of any collected information in the Lansing area about individuals who were significant in making a change, especially in human rights and civil rights, or any places. There's no place that's mapped out where things happen.
Right.
And when we realized there was an absence, we said we should do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we started doing some research, and we realized that it's going to take a lot of work to find where these places are, because so much of it is embedded in memory and oral history, and not so much of it is documented in the historical record.
But you're saying there's some historical detective work that may be necessary.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. And Michigan State University Museum is a museum that I think prides itself on being a museum without walls. We work within the community, and then we have things inside the walls of the museum. And this is one of those community outreach activities where we are hoping that we're going to engage campus folk, community folk, in doing that heavy lifting, the research, to find out where did things happen that made a difference in all of our lives.
I know you have started to look at a few sites, the MSU Student Services Building, for example, the site of the first the Gay Pride office back in 71 or 2 or thereabouts.
Yeah, I mean, people take it for granted now that Gay Pride Week exists.
Right.
You know, it has always existed.
Right.
Well, it didn't. And there was a place and a moment in time when it was initiated at Michigan State University. So we want to mark that and celebrate that. And then going back to the memories, gather people's memories about that time and that era where that change was made.
Mm-hmm. And catalog that and commemorate it somehow. How might you commemorate these sites?
Well,
signs, plaques,
yeah,
that kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't it be lovely to be able to put a mark, a historical marker, or be able to have an app on your phone with, you know, where you could get QR codes to create an itinerary for, maybe it is gay and lesbian rights in our community, or
mm-hmm.
maybe it's African-American rights, or maybe it's age-related rights in our community. Anything that could help you know that history took place right here, and you are actually standing at a spot, you could see the spot where something significant happened.
Mm-hmm. You have an interesting personal anecdote with regard to the home that you used to live in. Tell us about the house of the Brown House in East Lansing.
Exactly. Well, It's actually at the corner of Elm Street and Harrison Road in East Lansing, so it's just up the road from where we're sitting right now. And my husband, Kurt Dewhurst, and I moved into this building as grad students, and the person who owned the building was Dr. Robert Brown, who was with the history department at MSU. And he once told us the story that he, because he owned that building, rented what he believed was the first time renting to an African-American. It was either a young faculty member or a doctoral student, a place of residence in East Lansing. In other words, breaking the color barrier for the East Lansing community. And we've never dug deeper to corroborate that story. We're keen to hear other people's memories of that period of time. Dr. Brown told us that story probably in circa 1975 or 1976, and he's long gone. But it's interesting that if, in fact, it is true, that it means that there's a significant spot that people walk by every day or drive by every day where change happened.
Right. And this is where the historical detective work comes back in as well, because we really need to corroborate whether or not what Professor Brown said is accurate or not.
Exactly.
There was some other place that actually predated that.
Exactly.
Now, the MSU Museum's connection with Sites of Conscience is tied to your exhibit that starts today on Ruby Bridges. Who was Ruby Bridges, and why are you telling her story?
Exactly. Well, the, Ruby Bridges was the six-year-old elementary school student who in New Orleans on November 14th, 1960, went in to a, she went into what had previously been a segregated school, and and she was the first black student to go into this school, elementary school, the William France School in Ninth Ward, by the way, Louisiana, New Orleans.
Oh, it was hit so hard by Katrina,
And parents of the other students of the school were so angry. There was a mob of angry students or angry parents protesting her admission into the school. So she was accompanied by federal marshals, and that was a moment in time captured by the artist Norman Rockwell. It was also featured news daily on the evening news across the country. And it took almost a year before that protest died down, and she was actually able to go freely in and out of the school without the mob.
And that exhibit begins today at the MSU Museum, we will point out here. We probably have listeners who may well be willing to help you with some of your historical detective work that you're embarking on with Sites of Conscience. Yeah. How can people connect with
you? Well, come to the museum first. There, we have a table where people can write information, fill out information sheets about places that they know or incidents that they know. And then we're going to have to either engage them in doing some self-research, or we're going to try and find students who will help us do that. And ultimately have a great online resource that all of us will be able to turn to.
And in the meantime, I would recommend anyone interested in this very intriguing project visit the website of the main Sites of Conscience organization. That is simply sitesofconscience.org. The MSU Museum's Marsha McDowell, part of an effort to identify local sites associated with human rights. Marsha, thank you and good luck.
Thanks.